Well, hello again. This is Buck Benny speaking. Welcome to a special presentation. The gang and I recorded this this last weekend. I didn't have a chance to put it out there yet. John Lennon passed away on the 8th. Now, as I record this, it's the 17th. And in 6 minutes, Paul McCartney will drop his newest album, McCartney 3, which is a wonderful album. I've heard an advanced copy. And that'll be on Spotify. It'll be available everywhere tomorrow. And I just thought it's a good time to talk a little bit about John Lennon and the effect of his passing on us and so forth with my team, as I said. So, without further ado, let's get into that. And if you want a chance to listen to some new Paul McCartney, go to Spotify and check out McCartney 3. I'd recommend Rocker Lavatory Lil, one of the really good tracks, and the best track, the 8 minute long, amazing, deep, deep feeling. What a great track. Anyway, onward with John Lennon and his effect on our lives. Thank you.
Well, hello again. This is Buck Benny speaking. I am here, probably for the first time for a lot of you, with my friend OTR Rob. So Rob is here.
Rob, hey, how is everyone?
Here we go. And of course, we have Kathy Fuller Seeley with us. We are doing a special podcast today. Just wanted to celebrate very loved human being, John Lennon. And his passing 40 years ago this last week on the 8th. And I just kind of one, go back and kind of say what the impact was on our lives that he had and so forth. I'll talk a little bit. I guess I'll hop into his death first for me. When I was 15 years old when he passed away, I had in the year previous, maybe a couple years previous, really gotten into the Beatles heavily. And so, and John was my favorite Beatle of the Beatles at that time. And I mean, I like Paul and everything, but John's stuff, he just had a coolness to him that appeals to a 15-year-old or 14-year-old. And so I just loved it. My first Beatles album I picked up was their Red Greatest Hits, the 1962 to 66. And I listened to that thing probably still more than any other album I've ever owned. And just the layout of it, the way they chose to put the songs, just especially the beginning, the Fab Four sort of wild beginning where you had She Loves You and I Want to Hold Your Hand and all of these and Please Please Me. I think they had like five just absolutely stunning tracks back to back to back to start the thing. And man, that album just was amazing. Then I picked up the second one, the blue one, 67 to 70, and love that one too. That was at that time a little spacey for me or whatever, so I was more into the earlier Beatles. But then I was so excited because I knew that Paul McCartney had been releasing albums all along the way. And my sisters were big into Paul McCartney. They went and saw him in 76.
Wow.
When he came to the Kingdom.
We went over America tour.
Yes.
Yeah.
And what's awesome about that, and of course, I was too young, I was 12 or something, and it just, you know, and also I wasn't hugely into the Beatles, though I was a little into Paul McCartney just because my sisters would play it all the time when I was 12. Anyway, so they go and they have a great time. They say it was probably the best concert they were ever at. Then a couple years later, the performance he gives there is released on as a film the rock show. It's called, and it is the actual performance from the Kingdom. So that would be cool. I always thought if I was them, boy, I would really love that they preserved an actual performance that you saw live. It would be just awesome. And anyway, so that's I was into, they were into Paul, and I knew about Paul, but John seemed like, I was like, what happened to John? He just, it was gone for me, right? Because he didn't release any albums from, he pseudo retired or stepped down in 75 after Sean Ono Lennon was born. And he wanted to raise Sean, and so spent the first 5 years of Sean's life with him, which was hugely important, more important than sharing any music with us, I think. And anyway, then he releases an album, his first album in 1980, his first album in 5 years. And I was just so excited to get that album and things. And I remember I had not bought it yet, or maybe I had. I can't remember whether I bought it before he passed or not. It was only out a week and then he died. But I do remember being up at the mall and seeing this, the display with all of the John Mandeman, the album, like, you know, I don't know, 300 copies of the album and posters. And he just had a fourth of the store was the John Lennon store. And I love that. And I love seeing that. I believe when I went to see that, when I went to, was up at the mall, I think was like the day before he died, maybe two. And so I, that was still in my mind when all of a sudden on Monday night, they broke in and said that John Lennon had been shot and killed. And boy, I don't know. I can't think of any other celebrity death or just really any death other than my grandmother's death that impacted me so much. It was just to have him stolen in that way made me so angry at the person who did it, and I couldn't understand. And then they said that guy was a fan, and I'm like, well, how do you kill the person that you enjoyed? It just made no sense. And it was frustrating because he was coming back into the world of recording. We could have got who knows how many more albums we would have got out of him, how much more enjoyment, and his poor family. And what a tragic thing. I go on a music forum, and on the forum they had a tribute to John Lennon 40 years after his death, and folks were posting all day long on the day of his death. And I posted in there at 11:52 at night, right? You know, it is 8 minutes to midnight when it was going to change to the next day. And I said, I've waited all day thinking about what I wanted to post, what I wanted to share. And that it was just so difficult for me to even open up that thread that I just said I had to wait until I was ready. And I said, I didn't want to let it go. I mean, I owe this to John to say what he meant to me. And so I opened it up and I put in the date, the time, and I typed, for the next 8 minutes. And then right before midnight, I hit post so that it posted, got a whole bunch of likes and everything, which is wonderful or whatever. But what I really said was just the impact he had on my life, the impact he had on his music changed my life. His music made me a better person. His music just impacted me in ways I can't even describe. And that his death impacted me tremendously in the way his death impacted me and so forth. Anyway, and that was my tribute. And I said, I felt like he was there with me as I'm writing that. So it was special. And then I signed off by saying, John, I'll see you next year at this time. And, you know, so, and it's always nice on the weeks before his death and after his death that I spend more time listening to more John again and listening to his albums and listening to his songs. What he's left us is just so amazing. His legacy, his, the diversity of the songs he's left us and everything. But anyway, let's go over to Kathy for a minute. We'll go to that.
Oh, Rob. I do Rob first.
Okay, Rob, what, I don't know, you're a different age than I am, a whole different age group.
And I am You were 15, right? Yes. I was 30.
Yeah.
So I
missed the whole Beatles thing, other than, like I say, I was introduced to my greatest hits album that were released after they were together, right? That's how, yeah, I got there. But for Rob, you would have been there. Well, Rob and Kathy would have both been there. Like,
well, yeah, I was 13 when the Beatles came to America.
Yeah.
But I knew about them from the Jack Parr show, mm-hmm, because in December of 1963, they had a color segment of the Beatles performing in a concert in England. And he even said that they were due to come to America.
Right.
And that they were successful over there. And, a lot of people laughed. The audience people laughed because of the long hair,
yeah,
and their clothing. And but like when John Lennon died, that was like saying goodbye to my teen years. Mm-hmm. It was devastating. And it was devastating for a lot of people then, because they too lost their teen years when John Lennon died.
Right.
And it was just devastating. And it wasn't local, it was around the world.
Yeah.
Everybody mourned John from around the world. And then they had this week-long vigil.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so touching and moving, and you were surprised to find out how he and the band were so popular, even in 1980.
Right.
And in 1980, they still weren't playing Beatles music on AM radio then. Right. They weren't.
Right.
That only happened when the internet came along. Because when the Beatles were out and they were popular, yes, you heard them all the time. Mm-hmm. But after they broke up, it depended on the radio station you were listening to, whether or not you were going to listen to a John Lennon album or a Paul McCartney album or George Harrison album or Ringo Starr album. You didn't know, because for some reason there was like some kind of moratorium after they broke up, and
it depends on which part of the country you live in too, of course. So yeah,
what do you mean?
Well, in the Northwest, we still had a lot of Beatles played on our local rock stations and things throughout, but we probably had more. There was a little bit of a frustration with people in that we had more Beatles being played songs than we had solo McCartney or solo Lennon. When they released a new album, you're like, oh, play it. Or you'd call. I remember my sisters. I remember this totally. Them calling up and going, oh, can you play us a new song off the Paul McCartney album? We really want to hear that. And they go, oh, we've had some requests for Paul McCartney. Here he is with the Beatles singing Hey Jude. And it'd be like, wait a minute, that's Hey Jude's great, but we didn't want it. We asked for, you know, the other song. And it was just interesting how that would go. But I know that over in England, they didn't play the Beatles nearly as much because they thought they were like passe and old stuff. And so they wouldn't play the Beatles. But I know there's different parts of the country where they played very little Beatles, and they played a lot more of Ringo's solo stuff and Paul's solo stuff and things. So, like I say, it depends on where you're at. But Rob, that's because I would think I could see how that would be really impactful on you, because you had them throughout your formative years and everything. I was like in my formative years, so it was a little different, but. Yeah,
because I remember that they hit the front page of our newspaper, mm-hmm, when they arrived in New York, and that didn't happen back then.
Right.
Rock and roll bands were a joke to our parents. It was a joke to our parents, and they said, "That's not music." And I'll be darned. A couple of years later, before they broke up, Paul had a single out of one of the Beatle albums, and we were playing it on the radio television combination that we had in the living room. We went back to 1950. And so, and I had the radio on, and Paul McCartney was singing, and my mom was humming to it.
Well, I remember my parents, they were strange. They were more progressive somehow or something, because I remember from early on, my mom said one of her favorite songs was John Lennon's Strawberry Fields Forever. And that's the Beatles song she would always ask if we were ever going to play the Beatles. Oh, can you play that one? Because she really liked that one. Dad was never really into music. It didn't seem like. I think it was more mom, but I'm not sure. But man, we always had, that house was so full of crazy albums, because you'd have, my sister Joy was 10 years older than me. So she was, she was 18 in 73. So she remembered the Beatles, and we had Monkees albums and Beatles albums, and we had, my younger sisters had Led Zeppelin, and we had Jimi Hendrix, and we had and then we had the Tijuana brass band or whatever it was, and we had Don Ho, and we had, for my parent, for my mom, right, and we had Frank Sinatra and Johnny Cash, and it was such a rich musical environment at my home. And I have, and I love all of these people. I play all music from all of those folks still, and enjoy them. And I was so blessed to have a family that was into that. And I still remember playing it on their, they had this stereo. I mean, I remember Dad just started to make some serious money, because he was built houses. And for years he built a house. He built a house in like the 60s and very early 70s. And it cost him, he'd borrow money from the bank, because he had to borrow from the money to build the thing. And he built his house, and it like cost him, I don't know, $20,000 to build it. And he'd sell it for $25,000, and it would take him, you know, half a year to do that or something. And so you didn't make a whole lot of money. But then it started to be where, oh, he could build a house for still about $20,000 and sell it for like, you know, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000. So it started to be where the money started to be better. And so we had this beautiful house that he built. He built the, our house where we lived. And originally the first house he built the garage, and the family lived in the garage while he built the house around the garage. And then we moved into the actual house that he built, but it was a small little house. And we lived there from the time I was born until like 1970 about. Then we moved into this giganto house that he built with enough rooms for all of us kids. I mean, we had a lot, I had four older sisters, and the house he built for us, there was my, one of my sisters had like a double wide room. And so, cause they wanted to be together. And so he created that. I mean, he built the house for the family. It's like, oh, my sister that wants to be apart from everybody else, he put a kind of a niche room back further down the hall where you'd have to go to get hers. My room was right next to my parents' room. I mean, there was just a lot of thought that went into that house. Anyway, the we had this console, beautiful wood stereo that they had, that I love that thing. And the music, the sound it would put out was so good. And so you'd have blazing Led Zeppelin coming out of there sometimes. And then other times, you, like I say, you'd have Don Ho coming out of these things. And everybody just lived with it. It was just, it was crazy. My Beatle memories, my first one is, I remember my first grade teacher playing Abbey Road, the album, just a little while after it came out. And she played that, I think she played the whole album to the classes we were working on stuff. And I remember, and we'd do it, she'd do it during the work time, like every day. So I remember hearing a lot of Beatles that way. Yeah, exactly. She, I'm like, this is awesome.
And then my other memory was when the single came out, I think it was the first single I ever bought, was Paul McCartney's, let's see, Admiral Halsey, Uncle, help me, Uncle Albert, Admiral Halsey, the single, yes. I played that thing to death. I love that thing. And I would play it and play it and play it. And so, yeah, so I kind of had the Beatles going through.
Wasn't that the Wings' first album?
That was
before he did Wings.
Right before Wings.
That was on the first Wings album.
Nope. It was right before that. It was just Paul and Linda. They hadn't had Denny Lane didn't join till the next year, and then they had Wings. But it was a great album. It was kind of pre-Wings, but it felt Wings-ish, very Wings-ish. I mean, I would think. If I had to categorize, I would count it as Wings, even though Wings wasn't there, because Wings, the vocal on Wings was essentially Paul and Linda, and that Paul and Linda were all over that album. It was called Ram that it was on. And Ram.
Oh, yeah, I remember. Yeah,
was
Ram.
Bashed when it first came out. Rolling Stone just laid waste to it and said he did terrible lyrics and so forth. But over the years, its stature has grown and grown and grown, and it's considered. Band on the Run and Ram are considered the two best Paul McCartney albums, probably from the 1970s. Anyway, but that's a whole nother subject. But let's, Terry's rejoined us, and let's hop over to Terry. And Terry, did you have any thoughts? I don't know if you were a Beatles fan, or I have no idea what their impact on you was, or John Lennon's impact.
I think it's almost impossible for someone not to be a Beatles fan.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, the straight answer is yes, I was a Beatles fan. I wasn't what you might call a super fan. I had a friend who was and probably still is a super Beatles fan. Her home was filled with memorabilia, collectibles, and you know, all of every version of every song they ever recorded. I liked the Beatles a lot, but I wasn't anything like that. That said, the name of my podcast, Imagine, I mean, got to be some influence there.
That's great. That is great, Terry. Well, Kathy, let's go over to you about John Lennon.
All right. Well, I'm somewhere, Daryl, in between you and Rob in age. I was 3 when the Beatles appeared on Ed Sullivan, and my mother taught me to twist in front of the television. I'm probably what Terry would call a super fan. The Beatles have been the soundtrack of my life. I snitched my parents' Beatles albums when I was 6 and played them on my show and tell.
Oh my God.
A very primitive thing. So they've been the sort of touchstone of my whole life.
Wow.
It's all I play. I'm 60 now. It's all I've expanded both, you know, all the albums I've gotten. There's an 11 CD set that you can get of the Beatles' early appearances on BBC programs.
Yep.
So this is a Russian or a Swedish.
I was going to say, it's not. We have a version in America that's like 4 albums or something.
Yeah. Oh, no. I got the 11 CD version. Really when it
so, you've got all this stuff with terrible sounds, certain you know parts of it, and that you didn't want to include
matter.
Exactly. I know
all of it. So they've been incredibly important to me. They've been kind of for like people who love poetry or you know I mean so they oh gosh so yeah. it's always been the Beatles. And I was 20 and just home from college on winter break the night John Lennon was killed. So I was luckily back with my family, and they broke into the programs and devastated. It was it still is one of the most painful experiences of my life to have someone so important, you know, taken away so cruelly.
Yeah.
And the worst part was the fella I was dating who was soon to become my fiance. I call him and he's back in Atlanta where we'd been in college, and I call him and I'm crying. And unfortunately for him, one of his fraternity mates had committed suicide on campus that very day.
Wow.
And so he didn't want to hear about you know, my pain, because understandably he had a lot of pain of his own. And yeah. It was very, gosh, it was hard. It still is. How can it be 40 years?
I know, right?
But I say the same way. How did I get to be 60? You know, because I'm ageless. When I listen to the Beatles songs, I'm as young as when they first came out. But, it's to me, although I teach a course on the 1960s, and I was just teaching it this spring, and to my undergraduates they said, oh, it's just another boy band, like they were from Korea.
Right.
And I showed them the Beatles on Ed Sullivan, and we read this article about the Beatles' impact on youth culture and music, and so I convinced about half of them half of my class of 30 undergraduates that the Beatles were really
fun. And they always compare them to various boy bands, and it's like, okay, do those boy bands write their own music, and do they play all their own instruments?
But the thing is, it's possible to love and interact with the Beatles at all these levels, right?
Yes.
They can be, you know, for some people, just a boy band.
Right.
As I said, for me, there's something sort of a very essential to my sort of philosophy and soul to get, you know, heavy about it. But
temporarily I was working at a radio station in 1980 as a part-time job, and I remember the station was promoting John Lennon's first album from 1980, and it was like they were giving them away. And then was he shot on a Friday night?
No, it was Monday, because Monday night.
Was it Monday?
Yep.
Because I remember coming back home, and I turned on the radio and I heard the news. And then the weird thing was the song that John Lennon sang, where he talks about, I read the news today, oh boy.
Same thing, yep, yep.
And that came to my mind when I heard that he had been shot and killed.
Mine too. That song goes through my head all the time when on the anniversaries and everything, yep. It's some of the songs hit so hard in such different ways since his passing, and things where he sings about dying, or oh, they're going to crucify me, and these things, and
or nobody told me there'd be days like these. That was from Double Fantasy that had just come out, and it was right.
Well, and just on a positive note, our friend Paul McCartney continues to release new music, and next week he drops a new album, and I'm so excited about it. I, of course, with my many connections, have listened to the album, and it's lovely. You're going to find you really like the album. Of course, whenever I get albums leaked early, they're always like really poor quality, and you're like, there's a good song in there somewhere, I'm sure. So it's
Paul McCartney was the first performer to actually start recording in digital.
Yeah, I can believe that.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know if you guys all know the story of the album that's going to get released this next week, but it's McCartney 3. And so McCartney 1 came out right after the Beatles broke up. It was essentially the first pop rock solo Beatles album that was released. Other members had released kind of side projects, but they weren't really their first pop album. And on the back of it, he did a kind of a self interview that he created, and it said the Beatles were like done. And so that was like shocking news that the Beatles were done. I mean, they'd known they were done for a long time, but anyway, so that was after the Beatles broke up. He came out with McCartney 1, which was a fairly acoustic piece with lots of instrumentals and things. And it was all just Paul. The whole thing was Paul. No band, no anything. Linda might have been on a track in the background singing or something. I'm sure she was. And then 10 years later, at the end, when Wings was breaking up, essentially, he came out with another McCartney album. It was called McCartney 2. And that one was more of a, it was an electronic thing that he was just playing around with, a bunch of new synthesizers and things that he had, and a bunch of drum machines and so forth. And then decided, oh, let's release, I'll release that as an album. So he released that. Neither album were really truly designed to be albums. They were like him just trying to go in his studio and just get away from everybody and just do his thing. And then people talked him into releasing them. I mean, he, you know, they're like, yeah, you should release that. It'll be good. So then now, because of COVID, he goes away and hops in the studio by himself and records a whole album. And again, he says it wasn't, he wasn't really thinking about creating an album. He was working on like a soundtrack that he was supposed to be doing, finishing up. And then he's like, well, I'm here in the studio, I'll just record a couple more things. And then that became a few more things. And then all of a sudden he's got an album worth of material. And he's like, well, what am I going to do with all this stuff? And he's like, well, actually it kind of works as an album. So he decides to release that. And so we get McCartney 3 and all him, you know, nobody else on there. I guess one track was recorded partially with the band, like the last thing they did sort of, and that he threw in there as well. But all the rest of it's all just him. So, and I think people will be pretty happy with it. I mean, I man, this, for me, since about 1996, he's been in this strange later career renaissance where I just love his stuff from the late 90s, the 2000s, 2010s, probably more than anything, definitely more than the early 90s, certainly more than the 80s. He didn't release a lot of stuff I liked in the 80s. And then, the 70s, of course, were his golden years for solo stuff and for Wings. But yeah, so great album coming out next week. Everybody should check it out.
Are you going to do a show on it?
Yeah, probably. I usually do. I mean, I was thinking about doing one with the copy I have, you know, and playing some of the tracks. And I thought I could get in trouble for that. So I think I'll wait until it's officially released.
Speaking of getting into trouble, do you all know the story of Paul McCartney's Russian album?
Yeah, no. A little bit about it, but go ahead. Tell us about that, Terry.
Well, the Beatles were not, during the Soviet era, the Beatles were not allowed to be played on state radio in the Soviet Union. But there was an album that had a Russian cover, and it said in Russian, back in the USSR, I think, and it was largely a Paul McCartney. In fact, I think it might have been exclusively Paul McCartney's songs. Right. And I've mentioned this super fan friend of mine who wanted a copy of that album because she had everything else. So when I was working as a reporter in the Soviet Union, I got a copy of it and brought it back to her, which, you know, was like one of the many holy grails of Beatles collectibility.
Yes. For a while there, that was the holy grail. Yeah, that was.
I'm sorry I didn't keep a copy of it. Yeah. Or that I didn't buy.
Well, that was Paul. He recorded that. He recorded a bunch of the old rock and roll tunes,
right?
And released it over there. Because they didn't have much music, much of his music.
But then he went back years later and did perform on Red Square. And the song that sadly by then I'd already left, so I wasn't at that concert. But the big hit of the night was when he sang Back in the USSR.
Yeah. Well, and that album now is available everywhere, so you can get it here in the States and everything. But there was a 4 or 5 year period where you couldn't, unless you got it imported somehow from Russia, you couldn't get it. And that's when it was the thing. But then he released it here, and it's been released ever since. But it's a nice piece. It's just the recording's not as good as some of his recording. I mean, he later did a Run Devil Run, which was in 1999, right after Linda died. It was his first thing he did because she said, look, you've always wanted to revisit your old rock songs and things. When I'm gone, do that. That's an easy one to start with and then keep going. Cause he was like, I don't know if I could, you know, record anymore and things when you're gone. And she said, no, that's, I'm not going to take away Paul McCartney from the world on my death. So you are going to keep on recording. And so he did. But
that's Terry,
amazing.
Do you remember where you were when John Lennon was shot?
No, I was born in 1953. So when he was shot, I was, let's see, 1980, right?
Yeah.
So I was 27 years old. And, you know, I wasn't old, but I had already moved on to other musical interests.
Yeah.
I remember where I was when John Kennedy was killed. I remember where I was when Bobby Kennedy was killed.
Yeah.
I Martin don't remember King. Where I was on that day in 1980.
Yeah.
No. I recognize that it was a terrible tragedy, but it didn't affect me personally the way it affected people who were both younger and older.
Right.
Well, what was your band growing up?
Who were you?
The first time I heard a Beatles song, I was 10 years old, 9 years old. I was 9 years old. I Want to Hold Your Hand. But I, you know, as with you, my parents listened to music of their generation. And so I heard their songs growing up. I also have immigrant parents. So I was listening to a lot of non-American music. Mm. And so there wasn't really one band. And yet, if there were one band that I would listen to most readily, oddly, it would be the Beatles, because their music had so much variety.
Yes.
And because it was, you know, they were kind of always there in the background as I was growing up. But again, I was not a super fan. I enjoyed the Beatles a lot. I still like listening to the Beatles, but my musical tastes are pretty eclectic. So I can't really say there was a band that was mine.
Right. Okay. Well, that's good. Well, I'll tell you what, we'll stop there because we got to get onto some other things. And so we'll leave John Lennon and the Beatles and just say, hey, the impact on our lives was just amazing for all of them. And I get it. This week's hard for everybody that's a huge Beatle fan or Lennon fan. So I thought we'd just talk about it. So there we go. Thanks, everybody.